Thank you, worship team. Been staying on the promises. Today we're starting again our second week on dealing with the messes in our life. We talked last week, if you were here, about the first step when you're trying to maybe manage through or addressing the messes that you might find in life is to acknowledge that you have one. The first step is to admit that we're a mess. I remember we talked about that last week. You know, we're all a mess. I'm a mess. You're a mess. Our parents were. We all have messes. Do you remember the last statement that we talked about that we wanted you to do through the week? If you saw somebody and you said, boy, they're a mess, what you would say to yourself? Remember, you're supposed to say, I know a mess when I see one because I am one. You know, and that's kind of the beginning point. And that's the beginning point of a church that, you know, we've all got messes. We've all got things we're trying to work through, and acknowledging the fact that I have a mess is the first step in trying to deal with a mess. So today we want to talk about the next thing, and that is how to untangle a mess, because so often in our lives, we try to get out of those messes and we can't seem to do it. It's kind of like the Bible says that the sins, I guess we could call sins messes, they so easily entangle us. It's kind of like a spider web, you know, they go around us and they go around us and we try to get out and we can't get out. And we think we can't escape. But a lot of it's just our attitude, that actually we can be untangled. We can get away from those messes if we have the right attitude. So I put this as a key thought on your outline for you. In order to clear up our messes, we need to untangle the things that bind us up and hold us back from escaping the mess that we're in. Most of the things that bind us are attitudes and belief systems that can be changed. And that's a good thing. No, because that's a promise. If we can change our attitude, if we can change the way we look at this mess, then we can probably walk away from it. But if not, we keep bound to it and we keep repeating the same cycles over and over again and we find ourselves in that mess. So to find the answers to this morning, I want to take you to a familiar story to you. It's found in John chapter 4. It's verses 5 through 29. It's the story of Jesus coming to the Samaritan woman at the well. This woman had some messes in her life. I mean, first of all, she was a Samaritan, and the Jews didn't associate with Samaritans because they were considered half-breeds. I mean, you know, the Jews at first, they weren't supposed to intermarry with any other religious group. But what happened is, you know, the war came in and different people settled in there, and there were Gentiles and there were Jews together. They intermarried. They became the Samaritans, which they're not a purebred, so they're not really accepted because they're unclean. So Jews don't even want to associate with Samaritans. Plus, she's a woman. And men aren't supposed to talk to women. And so they were kind of put down. And then this woman had a lot of messy relationships. She had five husbands in her life. And then the guy she was with now wasn't her husband. So she made a lot of mistakes, had a lot of problems. They looked at her as the local prostitute. So they didn't come out to the well. She comes out to the well by herself. That's not what happened in those days. Ladies went together to get water. She's by herself. She's alone. Her life's in a mess. And Jesus comes to her and helps show her the way out. So by looking at that story, some attitude changes maybe that she would have or we could have in our life is a beginning point then of maybe clearing up some of the messes that we might find ourselves in. So let's look at the story. It'll be up here on the screen, or you can follow along in your Bible as well. This is from the New Living Translation, John chapter 5, chapter 4, excuse me, verse 5. Eventually, Jesus came to the Samaritan village of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please, give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. And she said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" And Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water." "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" And Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. "Please, sir," said the woman, "give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water." "Go and get your husband," Jesus told her. "I don't have a husband," the woman replied, and Jesus said, "You're right. You don't have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth." "Sir," the woman said, "you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here on Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshipped?" And Jesus replied, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way, for God is spirit, and so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." And the woman said, "I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." And Jesus told her, "I am the Messiah." Just then the disciples came back. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask, "What do you want with her?" or "Why are you talking to her?" And the woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah?" And if you go on the story, you find out they all were excited about that. Some believed because of her message and the change that happened in her. And then many came and saw Jesus, and they believed because they met Jesus themselves. Let's pray. Lord, probably none of us have the messes in our life like this woman has, at least not to that extent. But you loved her, you came to her, you showed her a way out, you delivered her, and you can do the same for us. But we need some attitude changes maybe to face the messes that we're in, and I pray that you would speak to us and teach us through this story today. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to share with you four attitudes or actions that will set you free. Because you've tried to be free, you've tried to get past those things, those messes in your life that just keep coming back. So here's the first thing. If you want to have those messes cleared up, you have to want to change. It has to be a deep desire in you. I put it on your outline. You need to be desperate to break free. You must hunger and thirst for something different in your life. This woman was thirsty, and it wasn't just for water. She knew about physical thirst and hunger. They did in that country, but she was thirsty for something more. She was lonely. She was an outcast. Nobody cared about her. Everybody looked down on her. Her relationships where she was trying to find fulfillment just didn't work, one after another. And it was just like her life was in a total mess, and nobody wanted to have anything to do with her, and she wanted something different. She said, "Give me living water," and she wanted to change. If you want to get out of the mess, you have to want to change. People do not change unless they hurt enough that they have to, or their desire is strong enough that's going to enable them to. So you have to do that, and I put a couple things on your outline that helps you. How do you get to that point? How do you really want to change? A, you must see the destructive path that you are on. So often, we avoid it. We avoid our messes. We say, "I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to look at, okay, the addiction that I have in gambling that's ruining my finances and putting up debt. I'm just going to hide it. I'm not going to look at my drinking addiction that is causing me to lose control of my life and causing me to lose my spouse and causing me to abuse my kids. I'm not going to look at that. I'm going to deny it. I'm not going to look at my problem with pornography and the lust that I have, which is driving a wedge between me and my spouse, and it's causing all kinds of problems in my life, but I'm just going to deny that I have it." What you have to do is you have to look at those messes in your life and say, "Hey, this has taken me in the wrong direction. I'm going to lose the things that are most important to me in life, the things that I love the most in life. I don't want that. I want to get away from that." And when you start seeing the destructive path instead of hiding it, then you're in a direction where you'll be able to help maybe desire a change. The second thing you need to do under B is you must see something better to pursue. So many people, you know, it's generational problems, right? My grandparents lived like that. My parents lived like that. So I think I have to live like that. You know what? You don't have to live like that. Your life does not have to be a place of fighting. It does not have to be a place of abuse. It does not have to be a place of addiction. Your kids do not have to be neglected. You do not have to be in financial debt over your head all your life. And when you begin to see that God has a better way, a way of acceptance, a way of peace, a way of joy, living in joy, not being angry all the time. When there's something better and I see a better way, or I see it in somebody else, that I want a life like that. Or maybe, you know, our family could be like that. You start to get hungry for something and say, maybe I can change. Because that's the first step you've got to do, is you have to want to change. You've got to say, I'm not staying in that cycle. I'm not repeating that pattern. Okay, my parents were abusive to me. I'm not going to be abusive to my kids. I'm changing that. I want something different in my life. That's the first step. That's what starts to untangle you. The second step is probably the most important and the hardest. And that is, in addition to wanting to change, you have to believe that you can change. Most of us don't believe we can change. And most of us have been told we can't change. Right? You know, I've always been this way. I've had one husband, then I had two, then I had three husbands, I had four. I had five husbands, the guy now won't even marry me, I don't blame him. You know, I'm a mess, right? I don't even know how to do relationships, and I can't change. Isn't that what we're going to think? Nobody likes me, everybody refuses me, everybody says I'm no good, they told me that way since I'm a kid, they tell me I'm just a prostitute, I can't change this lifestyle, I can't be any better, and there's no way I can change. You have to believe you can change. How are you going to do that? How do you get to believe? A, you've got to stop listening to the voices that put you down. Whether it was your parents, whether it was your peers, whether it was your husband, whether it was your kids, whether it was work associates, it was people at school that told you you were no good, you've got to stop listening to the voices. And where is it most of those negative voices come from? Inside our own head, isn't it? We tell ourselves that. And Satan gets in our head and says, you can't change. You can't be any different. You can't overcome that. You've tried so many times, and you haven't been able to do it, and it's not true. Because the Bible tells us when Jesus Christ died on the cross, and he went into the grave, and he rose from the grave, that he broke sin's power over us, that we can change. We might not believe it, but the chains are gone. The handcuffs are gone. We don't have to walk that way. We just don't believe we can change. If we can get to the point of believing we can change, then we can walk away and we won't be bound. And so you have to stop listening to those negative down voices, and B, you must start listening to Christ's voice, which tells you God believes in you and he knows that you can change. You know, nobody accepted this woman, right? Except for Jesus. Did Jesus believe in her? Yes. Guys wouldn't talk to her. They probably thought, oh, I'm not going to be showing around that prostitute. They just talked to her some other time. You know, but Jesus wasn't afraid to talk to her because he believed in her. He believed that she could be a missionary for him. He believed that she could win this whole town. He believed that her life didn't have to be the same, and she needed to stop looking for fulfillment in relationships with people, and if she would find it in him, she'd find the joy that would change her life. He believed in her. And what I want to tell you is God believes in you. No matter if other people don't believe in you, if nobody else believes in you, Jesus still comes alongside of you and says, I believe in you, and you can change, and I have a plan for your life. That's what Jesus does. That's why Jesus came. Which brings us to our third point. The first thing is you have to want to change. Secondly, you have to believe you can change, and this third one helps you believe that. You have to connect with Christ, who has the power to help you change. Because when you've looked at yourself, you say, okay, I haven't changed. I can't change. I've tried it. I know I can't. But you can believe when you have Christ with you to change. And so I've put here on your outline number A, you must stop trying to clean up your messes by yourself. That's what the church is about. You know, we got to come together. The Bible says if you confess your sins to one another, you don't point fingers at each other, you're able to admit that you have problems, you admit you have a mess, you come alongside and you help each other, because if you do it yourself, you can't do it. You don't have the strength in yourself to change. But with other people, you can. And with Christ, you can. Which brings us to part B there. Jesus rarely gave people a formula. Because I'm the kind of person who likes a formula, don't you? If you want to get over this, just do step 1, 2, 3, 4. Just do that. And you want to get out of this mess, step 1, 2, 3, and 4. And I like to give people formulas. You know that by my outlines. But Jesus didn't usually do that. Jesus rarely gave people a formula to solve their problems. Instead, he offered himself as a partner to help in that process. He says, come with me. Come follow me. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And Jesus says, let me hook up with you. Let me connect with you, and I'll take most of the weight. Because Jesus says, I know your spirit, you want to change, but I know in your flesh you're weak. You've given into it so much and you're weak, but you know what? He's not, because he hasn't given in and he's not weak. And he can come along with us and he can carry most of the burden and he can walk us out. So when you connect with him, you can find power to change and get in a different place. But the only way you can get God's power in your life, and I've put this on your outline, the only way you can get God's power in your life is to tie into God's power, you need to invite Christ into your life. And why is that? I've talked about that a lot. God is holy and God is pure and God's perfect. That's what the Bible says. There is no sin, no thought of sin, no action. There's no impurity. Find complete purity, completely light. That's God. How many of us are like that? None of us. We're a mess. We got problems. We're sinful. He can't associate with us. Why? Because God is so perfect and it's against his nature to come into anything that's not perfect. And he is a consuming fire. So the Bible says if he gets anywhere close to us, we're going to be ignited and burned up in an instant, destroyed, because we're not pure and holy. He can't associate with us. So he's got a big problem. He loves us. We're his kids. He wants to empower us and help us, but he can't get close to us or we're going to be extinguished and burn up instantly because we're not perfect and holy. So he says, what am I going to do? He says, well, I'll give my son, which is part of myself, to die. He's perfect. He's holy. He comes. He lives and he lives a perfect life and he dies for us to pay for us. So God now looks at Christ instead of us. He becomes our shield. He covers us. So now God says, okay, because of Jesus, if they believe, remember believing, if they'll believe in Jesus, then I can come and hold them. I can help them. I can connect myself like a cable to them and my power can flow into them and they can change. So when we believe in Christ and we ask him now, God can connect with us. Now God's Spirit can flow into us and he can empower us where we can't change ourselves. That's what we believe and that's why we change. Because when we accept Jesus, then God's power flows into us and then we have the ability to change. So if you're going to clear up the messes, these are just some attitude changes. First thing you have to do is what? You've got to want to change. You have to desire it, be thirsty for it. I don't want to keep going this destructive path. I want something different for me, for my kids, for my life. Secondly, you have to what? Believe you can change. Stop believing the lies other people have told you about yourself. Start believing you're worthwhile. Start believing you have power to change in Christ. Thirdly, you need to connect yourself with Christ, who is going to empower you and help you to change. And the fourth thing is this. You have to be willing to follow Christ's instructions on how to break free. Hard to do it, but this Bible here tells you everything you need to know how to break free. There's everything in here that tells you how to get out of debt financially. There's everything in here that tells you how to mend relationships with your kids that are mad at you or your brothers or sisters where you don't talk. There's everything in here that will mend relationship between husbands and wives. He's given us all kinds of instructions, but sometimes we don't want to follow them because they're anti-cultural. It's not what society teaches me. It's not what other people tell me I should do. It goes against it. But if you follow his instructions, it'll lead you out. And you have to be willing to do that. So I put on your outline, you must be willing to try new things. If you always do things the way you've always done them, what are you going to get? The same results you've always had. If you want to get out of the mess and change the cycle, you've got to do things differently. And so that's even where helping other Christians help you, because they've been there. They've gone through that financial stuff and they can say, here's a different way. They've been through breakups and divorce. They can say, I can help you through that. I know a different path that'll work. So we can help each other as we come along and see the new things that we need to do. And here's a key. B, you must be willing to humble yourself to motivate change in others. Most of our problems, most of our messes are not isolated to ourselves. It's mostly a system. There's people around us. How do you motivate that change? You have to humble yourself. Now, here's what I believe. God says that he will lift up people who humble themselves. He doesn't like proud people. If you're a proud person, you're never going to get out of your messes. You know how you mend relationships? Somebody humbles himself and says, I'm not going to be proud and I'm going to be humble. I think if husbands would go back to their wives and say, you know what? I have messed up and I need help. I have a problem. I can't get over this. And I've messed up here. Would you help me? And I think most wives would say, I would help you. Most wives and then would come and say, I messed up too, and I've got problems too. I think if brothers and sisters come together that way and somebody humbles themselves and say, I'm sorry, I'm messed up, and I need help, would you help me? And I think the other person can say, yes, I messed up too, and I can help you. But if you go into a situation and it's not my fault and you're all at wrong and this and that, and I think that, you know, if you would just change, I'd be all right, then nothing's going to be solved. But most problems will be solved if you will humble yourself and say, I need help. I want to change. I want to see something different. Would you help me? And most things can be changed through taking a humble spirit and realizing that you have a need. So here's application this week. The first step in addressing a mess is to admit that you have a mess, that you are unable to fix it on your own. The second step we're talking about today in addressing a mess is to untangle the attitudes that have kept you from resolving the mess. In other words, do you really want to change? Do you really believe you can change? And will you connect yourself with Christ and others that can help you change? Or you think you're going to do it on your own? And then, are you willing to let Christ make the attitude adjustments in your heart that will enable you to break free? You know, we're about here at the church about helping each other. And we have these, you know, friendship cards that are in your bulletin. And I encourage you every week to sign those and let people know that you're here. But you know what? Even when you come to like these sermons and you say, I got a mess and I would really like help, you could put on that card, I want help. You know, I'd love to have groups. We have a ladies group that meets. You know, I'd love to have a men's group that meets that say, hey, you know, we're struggling here together. Let's help each other along the way. Maybe it's just one or two people. Maybe you would just write on your card sometime, you know, I would like an accountability partner, somebody that's going to help me. You know, together we can clear up messes, and together with God's help we can change, but we have to have the right attitude. We have to want to change, and we have to believe we can change, and we need to connect with other people who can help us change. Now, that's just the beginning. That's just kind of untangling yourself so you can walk free. Next week, I'm going to try to deal with relationships, especially how do you restore broken relationship, because a lot of our messes are relationships. And then maybe the week after that, I'll deal with, you know, how do you deal with addiction problems that you have, because I think a lot of people have addiction things they hide and they don't want to deal with. But the beginning is our attitude. The beginning is, I really want to change. I really need to change. I want to connect with Christ and help me change. I need to believe that I can. So let's just pray and ask God to change our hearts that way, and that'll be the beginning, maybe, that we can walk away from the messes that have been keeping us bound in our lives. Lord, I think a lot of times maybe we don't want to change because we enjoy what we're doing, but we know it's messy. For one thing, maybe show us the destructive pattern that we're on and show us the better path that you would want us to go so we really get thirsty for a change. And Lord, then for some of us who don't believe we can change, which is probably a lot of us, we've had one mess after another and we don't think it can be different. Lord, give us hope to believe it can be different. And help us to stop listening to those voices in our life that put us down and listen to the ones that lift us up. And help us to connect with people who are willing to help us change. And if there's anyone here who hasn't connected with you and they realize, you know, I've been doing this on myself, maybe today they would just say, God, I need you. God, I want living water. God, I want a difference in my life. I don't even understand it, but please do something in me to change my heart. And Lord, then some of us have already known instructions that you've given us about what we need to do to follow you, but we just haven't wanted to. So help us to humble ourselves and say, yes, Lord, if that's what I need to do, I'll do it. And we'll stop playing the proud part. We'll humble ourselves and find healing through the humility and your grace that comes into our lives. Bless us, Lord, and help us to continue to follow you as you lead us through the messes and out of the messes that we have in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.